Please stand by. We're about to begin. Good day and welcome to the UFC 192 conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Dave Schaller. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Melissa. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the UFC 192 media conference call. UFC 192 takes place Saturday, October 3rd from Toyota Center in Houston. It airs live on pay-per-view at 10 p.m. on the East, 7 on the West. On today's call, we have UFC light heavyweight champion Daniel Cormier, challenger Alexander Gustafsson, top welterweight contenders Johnny Hendricks and Tyron Woodley, as well as light heavyweight contender Ryan Bader. Rashad Evans, former UFC champion, will be joining the call momentarily. But with that being said, Melissa, let's go ahead and open it up to the first question.
Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're on a speakerphone, please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, for questions at this time, please press star 1 now. And our first question will come from Damon Martin with Fox Sports.
Hey, guys, let me kick things off with DC. DC, obviously, you know, we've talked in the past about, you know, the looming John Jones question that always comes, you know, with your fights and with your title defenses. But obviously, I'm sure you heard his hearings coming up on Tuesday, you know, for his plea deal. Obviously, it's like 3 days before your fight, so of course it happens in that kind of timing. I'm just kind of curious your thoughts on that, and is it just kind of ironic that the timing of this whole thing happens, you know, 3 days before you defend your title for the first time?
Yeah, you know, for a long time, Jones he's kind of been a guy that's been tied to me very closely. I don't anticipate that ever changing, and now with his hearing being so close, it just kind of adds fuel to the fire, you know? It keeps him very relevant in the division, even though he's gone. It also kind of allows him to stay and cast in the shadow. So, not ironic. If I think they had a choice in that, I think that would be the ideal time to do it. And it just works out that way, which makes us – it gives us a little bit of a chance to know what's going to happen going forward after Alexander Gustafsson.
Is that something you can even think about? I mean, obviously, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know the outcome of the hearing. But, you know, assuming everything works out and he doesn't do jail time or anything like that, I mean, I know you've always expressed this. I think this is something that gets missed, is that I know you want to fight him again. I think that gets missed in the conversations. I know that is a fight you want, and in a weird way, you want him back.
You know, it's not weird. You know, I think every guy on this call, myself, Alexander Gustafsson, Rashad Evans, Ryan Bader, everybody should want John Jones back. It's not just me. Obviously, I'm the one that is asked about it more because I have the championship. But I think every guy in this division should want him to come back to have the opportunity to compete against that guy. So everybody should want him back. I am rooting for him. I don't know what happened. But in reality, I do hope that there is some punishment for his actions. You know, no one should be able to do those things and not be punished for those types of actions.
Yeah. You know, with Alex, you know, obviously in this fight, I mean, I know you're coming in, you know, as the favorite, DC, and I know that, you know, again, the odds and, you know, people picking it doesn't really matter in the fight at all, but do you feel like you're starting to get the respect you deserve as champion? I mean, is there a little chip on your shoulder still just because of that overhanging John Jones thing? Or do you feel like you are starting to get the respect you deserve as the number one guy?
You know what, man? Damon, I've always had a chip on my shoulder. It kind of drives me. You know, it's something that allows me to train harder, train longer, work better. In a fight with Alexander Gustafsson, I'm not very surprised that I'm the favorite. You know, I think stylistically it's a good matchup for me. This is a fight that I've asked for on a number of occasions. And not only have I asked for it, a lot of guys in the division have asked to fight Alexander Gustafsson because he's a guy that comes with a lot of prestige, with a style that a lot of guys think that we could take.
Awesome. And a question for Alex. You know, something that the DC had brought up at the Go Big press conference, you know, was about, you know, the way that a lot of people address you, the way a lot of people, you know, give credit to you is because of the one fight with John Jones, which ultimately was a loss. So I'm kind of curious from your side, is it frustrating that is the fight that somehow has kind of defined you, even though it did technically come out as a loss for you? Or are you still proud of the fact that, you know, you took John Jones deeper than anybody else in this division?
No, I don't even thinking about that fight no more. You know, I'm tired of hearing that fight too. So, you know, I got new goals, I got new missions in front of me, and that's all I'm having in my mind right now. So,
and just a quick follow-up, Alex. I know that, you know, it's tough anytime you deal with a loss. No fighter wants to lose, but, you know, obviously you had a different kind of loss. It was a knockout loss back in January. How long did it take you to kind of get past that fight, and how much has that fight stuck with you, you know, as you get ready for this title fight?
Well, it was a tough time in my career. It was a tough hit to take, but, you know, it's been my motivation from that time. You know, I came back on my feet quite fast. It took me a couple of weeks, and I've been training since then. I've been working my ass off the whole summer, and I've just been correcting my what I'm missing in my game, and trying, you know, developing as a fighter in my techniques and stuff like that. So I'm feeling a much better fighter today, and that fight with Anthony just motivates me even more. So
awesome. And one quick follow up for Ryan Bader. You know, Ryan, a lot of people believed after your last fight and the altercation that happened with DC that, you know, it was pretty much a foregone conclusion you were going to get this title shot. It didn't happen. I'm kind of curious your motivation and, you know, going into this fight. I mean, was there, you know, is there any overlying frustration or anger? And does that fuel you at all that, you know, you ended up in a different fight and not fighting for the title? Or is there any kind of, you know, overhanging, you know, just bad feelings from that whole situation?
No, you know, I'm way past it now. You know, when that happened, obviously, you know, you're that close to a title shot and you don't get it. You know, that sucks, whatever. But I got the next best thing in Rashad. You know, in that meantime when I didn't have a fight, that's what was eating at me. You know, I didn't fight in June, and then I didn't get that title shot, and I was kind of in a no man's zone. And you kind of feel lost when you don't have something on the horizon, don't have that name. And then when I finally heard it was Rashad, you know, I totally forgot about all that, focusing on Rashad. I have a fight now. I have a fight against a tough guy, former champion, you know, and I need to go out there and make him 5 wins in a row and put that big name of Rashad Evans, you know, former champ, guy that UFC respects, everybody respects, you know, on my resume. And so once I got that fight, it was happy, looking forward to fighting him and not even thinking about what's next.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Just quickly, Rashad Evans has now joined the call, folks. So Rashad Evans is now available for questions. And Melissa, I will step in here for you and say we'll go next to Richard Hunter from KRLD FM Radio.
Question for Daniel Cormier. Daniel, obviously you've been a veteran in this sport for a long time. You've worked very hard to get this title. Now you're the champion defending a title. Does it feel any different preparing for this fight or going into it knowing that you're the guy now that has the belt and you're defending?
You know, man, when you start fighting, you need dreams that should be the champion of the world. When you accomplish that, you don't feel lost. It doesn't hinder you. It only helps, you know. So my training has always been really tough. I've always worked hard. I've always been very committed to my training and focused on my workout. But so it hasn't really changed. You know, I'm still working as hard as I always work. And I just know now that there is no way that I want to part with that championship that I worked so hard for. You know, it's validation in knowing that all the hard work has finally paid off, and I'm continuing to work in that same type of way.
And a question for the challenger, Alexander Gustafs. Alex, do you feel, you know, prior to the Anthony Johnson fight, that win, had you won that fight, likely would have resulted in a title shot? Can you tell us, is there any difference in your mindset going into this fight as opposed to the fight that you had with Anthony Johnson, or for that matter, going into your title shot with John Jones? Can you say that your mind is in any type of a different place, or is it very similar?
Well, no, you know, I'm feeling great in my mind. You know, I've been working so hard for this fight, for getting this opportunity. I'm fighting for the belt again, so it's been a really good camp for me. I've been training hard, you know, the whole time since I lost, and And I just have another type of self-confidence now, and I learn from my mistakes. I never do them twice, you know. And I'm ready for the next mission here, and I'm feeling great. I'm feeling really great.
Hey, question for Johnny Hendricks. Johnny, you made some comments in the last week or so about changing your mindset, that maybe in the past we focused on some different things, and now it's a different approach. Not so worried about when the next title shot is coming. Could you speak to that a little bit and just let us know exactly how that's changing your day-to-day approach to fighting in the UFC?
Just forget about it. Who cares? You know what I mean? I got to get through a tough opponent on October 3rd. And if I can get past him, then, you know, who cares what the future brings? You know, who knows that, you know, who's to say that he doesn't get hurt, or Conda doesn't get hurt, or somebody gets hurt and then Kyle gets pushed back again and I have to fight somebody else. You know what I mean? I'm over it. Realistically, all I care about is fighting. You know, I'm only getting older. I don't have time to wait for 6 months, if that makes sense. I want to get out there. I want to compete. And that's really where my head's at, is just get out there and compete as much as I can. As long as my body stays healthy, I'm going to compete. And that's really all my main focus is. And that's where my training has been focusing at too, is making sure that we can continue to do this.
And finally, a question for Ryan Bader. And actually, I suppose it's a question for Ryan Bader and Daniel Cormier. Ryan could respond first. For a moment, when we did think that you and Cormier were headed toward a fight, obviously there was a lot of animosity that came up between the two of you. As you just said, you're focused on Rashad Evans now, but do you feel like there is still some residual personal animosity between you and Daniel Cormier, and do you think that if you do meet at some point down the line, that that's going to come up again? If Ryan, if you could respond, and then Daniel.
Yeah, you know, like I said earlier, I'm over all that whole situation. You know, I go out there, perfect situation. I go out there, beat Rashad, and, you know, he gets through Gustafson, and then hopefully we can meet for a title shot there and we can pick up where we left off. But, you know, like I was telling Damon, I was done with it after I got the name, got Rashad. You know, he's a tough, great opponent, and I got to get through him first. And so everything else kind of fell by the wayside, and I'm focused on Rashad, and that's it. I haven't really thought about it, you know, until the media brings it up and all that. But, you know, Cormier's got a fight, and I've got a fight, and we can pick up where we left off after that, and that's it.
You know, through this whole thing, the weirdest thing about this whole situation with Ryan Bader is through the situation and the way that he's carrying himself, I've actually gained a level of respect, because it seems as though he's finally understanding the game. Make yourself relevant, and then people will put you in title fights and fights that really matter. So, you know, animosity, obviously I didn't like that happened at the post-fight press conference, and I was hoping to have my moment. But you know what, man, that guy's got a really tough fight ahead of him. I have a very tough fight ahead of myself, and we'll see what happens afterwards. But realistically, over the course of this whole deal, I've got this weird level of respect for Ryan Moore than I had before, because he's actually really raised his visibility and his profile, made people respect him for not only getting the job done inside the cage, but knowing how to actually bring awareness to himself outside of the octagon.
Thanks, guys.
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question at this time, please press star one now. And our next question will come from Ken Pishna from MMAweekly.com. And Ken, your line is open.
All right, can you hear me okay?
Ken,
go ahead.
Okay, good. Tyrone, you know, all of us in the media have kind of been hitting up Johnny about how he's felt getting passed over for the title shot. You know, everybody kind of expected he'd be back in the title shot, and, you know, he's come to grips with that. But have you felt kind of overlooked or disrespected by everybody saying, hey, Johnny's taking a step down by not getting the title shot and having to fight you instead?
Well, anybody that says it is a complete idiot, number one. Number two, I don't feel like I was next in line for a title shot, so I don't feel looked over at all. You know, many people thought, you know, Johnny won that fight, and they thought that he's the number one guy in the world. So this is like a three-round title fight to me mentally. So I'm taking it very seriously. I'm excited about the fight. I'm excited about the matchup. And, you know, just to his defense, I would kind of be pissed myself, you know. So I think it's showing maturity that he can move forward and have the level of focus on fighting me and not, you know, not so much worried about Robbie and Carlos Condit, especially since he's had a victory over Carlos and I've had a victory over Carlos, that, you know, sometimes things just play differently and, you know, we're just going to go out there and have a great fight next week and make it a good show for fans.
As you said right there, both of you guys have a victory over Carlos and he's fighting for the title in his next fight. So do you feel like this fight really sets either one of you guys up, whoever comes out of this fight victorious, it really sets you guys up for a claim to that title shot no matter who wins, whether it's Robbie Lawler or Carlos?
I mean, I hate to sound like I'm just agreeing so much with the guy that we're going to be punching the hell out of each other next week, but it really don't matter, to be honest, if you think about it. I mean, you can play this out, and I've tried it, and I'm trying to say, hey, I want to fight Johnny because I know this is going to give me a title shot, or I want to fight Carlos. You see the guys I've asked to fight, it's not the, you know, the ships off the block. It's guys that are probably my toughest opponents, the toughest test I'm going to face in the division, and I know that beating those guys put me at a different level, but that doesn't always guarantee a title shot. So therefore, the goal is to focus on the person in front of you. You go out there, handle business, and then whatever happens after that is going to happen. You know, whether I get a title shot or not, it's not going to solely depend on what happens on October 3rd. There's so many different variables that go into that. But I think myself, I think Johnny, I think several, maybe one or two other guys, Rory and Robbie, we will forever be in the title picture. We forever talked about to be in next or one fight away. So I'll never get out of that talk and conversation as long as I'm in the sport. So it's only a matter of time. You know, you can delay, but you can never deny. I will be the world champion. I will be the best in the world. And all I got to do is just get, you know, more opportunities to keep proving it.
Okay, thanks, Tyrone. And Johnny, are you kind of in that same boat where at this point, you know, you've been the champion, you fought for the title, you've been in fights that seemed like they were going to be that number one contender fight, and then it didn't happen. Are you kind of at that point where you've just resolved to, I'm going to go out and fight and put on the best show I can, and when it happens, it happens?
Yeah, that, you know, realistically, that's all I've been talking about the last, 3 months? You know, ever since I got this fight with Woodley, I knew, you know, you can't overlook. I can look to the future, but I cannot overlook Tyron Woodley. If you do, that's stupid. You know, he's a great fighter. He's in the top five. You know, that in itself is very hard to do. So whenever you're looking at that, you got to make sure that you take one step at a time. And my step right now is that I have to fight him. I have to go out there. I have to perform. And like he said, whatever happens after that, it happens. But as of right now, I don't care about the title because I have to get through him. If I don't get through him, me talking about the title and all this other stuff doesn't even matter.
All right. Thanks, Johnny. And real quick for Rashad. Rashad, it's been like 2 years since you stepped in the cage just about. So how do you keep your focus during that much downtime? And, you know, what have you done? What's kind of your career outlook after having to sit out of the cage for so long?
Well, I keep a pretty busy schedule just between doing, doing a Fox gig and with my obligation at the gym and at home and stuff with my kids. But, you know, what's been my main focus is, you know, when you're dealt a situation like I was dealt, and, you know, just, you know, having two surgeries back-to-back and feeling like as I'm catching my rhythm and at the peak of my career is very frustrating. And I'll be lying to you if I sit here and say that, you know, there wasn't times where I doubt the fact that I could come back. But, you know, I had a great camp. And, you know, the biggest thing for me to camp was just, you know, training hard with the same intensity but training smart. And, you know, it's kind of hard to do when you've been doing so long at training a certain way. So, you know, I had to reform some things in my training just so that, you know, I was making the gains that I need to do, but at the same time, making sure that I made it to the fight. And, you know, I'm happy to say, you know, I completed camp without any injuries, and I feel really great. And I'm just excited to go out there and compete. You know, being out of the sport for almost 2 years is for me, it was the hardest thing. And it added a lot of perspective and a lot of of gratefulness and thankfulness that I'm able to go out there and compete and just enjoy myself doing what I love to do.
And you kind of hit on a couple of things there that I kind of see for fighters who, now that MMA is really a viable career path for guys, at least for a certain portion of their lives, you know, their injuries have been a big issue, and it sounds like you're addressing that through smarter training and, you know, better training. But another thing that a lot of fighters, I think, and a lot of athletes in general overlook is what comes next when there comes that day when you can't step back in the cage, when you can't fight anymore. You know, what do you do then? And you kind of touched on it with the Fox gig, but has this time off really kind of helped you consider what comes next when that day comes that you can't step back in the cage anymore, or you just don't want to?
Yeah, you know, it actually forced me to really look at that situation, you know. You know, because as an athlete, when you are used to competing and competing at a consistent basis, your time is pretty much marked by each training camp and each fight. And before you know it, years have gone by before you really had a chance to have that perspective looking from the outside and seeing what's your next step, what's your next move. And, you know, the thing that's so hard is that when you're inside of this sport, you know, you tend to forget that it's just a season of your life. And there has to be following seasons that follow, you know, the coming up. So you have to plan and plant some seeds for the following seasons. And that's something that definitely can easily be overlooked, because when you're involved, it's such a whirlwind and you enjoy it so much. It's hard to look, you know, 100 yards down the road and see exactly what's coming up. But, you know, being in the situation that I was in, I was really forced to. And I was really, forced to ask myself some tough questions in which I wouldn't have probably faced unless I was done at the sport, unless it was, you know, done before I was ready. So I'm glad I had an opportunity to sit back and really, you know, just take a look and see what I want to do with the rest of my life, you know, while I still have a chance to compete.
Thanks, Rashad. And thanks, everybody, for the time, and good luck next week.
Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Good luck.
And once again, everybody, that is star one if you'd like to ask a question at this time. And next we'll take Daniel Flynn with Breitbart Sports.
Question for Daniel and Alexander. Daniel, you know, apart from having some of the best wrestling in MMA, you've consistently shown yourself as an outstanding boxer. If this fight stays on the feet, do you think you can hold your own standing up against Alexander? And the flip side for Alexander, do you think it would be a mistake for Daniel to try to beat you on his feet?
No, you know, honestly, man, I do believe that I could box Alexander, without question. You know, there are ways to win fights, and sometimes you don't always choose the easiest way to win a fight. I believe that if it's a boxing fight between me and Alex, yeah, I hold my own. I believe that I'll be able to get on the inside against him. I believe that my hands are just as fast, if not faster, and I believe that I'll hit with more power than he does. So yeah, if it's a stand-up fight, sure, why not? I'd enjoy that.
Alexander?
Yes.
Do you think it would be a mistake for Daniel to try to keep this fight on the feet?
Well, you know, whatever this fight will end up, you know, it's gonna be a battle for sure. And you know, I've done my homework. You know, I'm not surprised if DC wants to also stand and bang with me. But at the same time, I'm not afraid of his wrestling. Another fight is 25 minutes long, and if it takes him down, but you know, it's a 25-minute-long fight, so, you know, I'm ready for whatever comes. I'm ready, and it's all going to down 3rd of October.
So a question, I guess, to start with Rashad, and if anyone else wants to take a crack at it, go ahead. I think for all the fighters here, this matchup is the first under the new drug testing regimen implemented by the UFC. Rashad, you've been around for a long time. Can you tell me how the drug testing has changed in the time that you've been in MMA and the time you've been in UFC, and how has the lead up to this fight have been any different? Is it more intrusive? Is it more testing? How is the experience different as far as the testing is concerned leading into this fight than in past fights?
Well, just the consciousness of knowing what you have to put in your body and knowing if, you know, just little over-counter things, just having that awareness of what you're putting in your body at all times is a lot different than I had previously going into a fight. I mean, you know, I've always watched what I put in my body, but you know, just the little things. I need to make sure I know what's in every single thing that I put inside my body at all times. And that's something that, you know, that I really didn't have to really, I wasn't really so conscious of, you know, because the drug test wasn't so strict. But, you know, I got tested a few days ago, and, you know, it's not so intrusive right now because, you know, I've been tested, you know, previously, a week or so before my fight. So that's not too much different. But, you know, just having to do the whereabouts form and everything else like that, that's something very new, and it's something that a lot of fighters are really going to have to be conscious of, and especially me, because, you know, I travel so much, and sometimes I'm kind of flighty. Sometimes I wake up one morning, I want to be in Chicago, and I get a flight that morning, I go to Chicago, and I just like to move around like that. That's how I get down. So that part is going to have to be, I'm going to have to make an adjustment with that and just, you know, always be conscious of knowing that these people got to be able to test me and be able to find me. So that's the part that's very difficult or just different for me, is just being conscious of where I'm at all the time.
Anyone else want to take a crack at that? Has this been different? Your experience been different with the drug testing than before? Is it just the same kind of thing with new people running it?
You know, man, actually, it's not that different, you know, because there has been quite a bit of testing before my last few fights, but I think it's great. You know, USADA is something that I've dealt with since wrestling, you know, so not only is it going to scare guys from cheating, the whereabouts thing, you know, unless you're, you know, a guy that changes the weather like Rashad Evans, most times it's pretty easy to tell people where you are, you know, but they've made it very easy now. When I was wrestling, we had to fax forms in if there was a change to my schedule. Now there's an type it in your phone. So it's great, man. I'm glad that it's drug testing, and I'm glad the drug testing is more stringent, and maybe we'll stop seeing so many guys look like Superman, and they'll look more like me.
Last question for Daniel and for Alex. The two fights that fans really want to see in the light heavyweight division both involve you guys, but they both involve you guys fighting John Jones and not each other. How much does the fact that the winner of this fight likely faces a returning John Jones in a massive money fight, how much does that give this matchup maybe an added sense of urgency, even more so than what, you know, a headlining fight would normally give you?
Well, you know, I don't even thinking about John Jones right now. I don't, you know, it's just about, you know, the next fight. It's just about DC for me right now, and he is the champion of the world in our division, and that's where I have my goal. So that's all I'm thinking about. I don't even like thinking about John Jones or on all that and all that situation. It's just DC right now. Nothing else for me.
DC,
the thing that's really fucked up is that we live our day-to-day lives normal, and we don't worry about Jones. But you guys will ask us questions about this guy, and then the headline will make it sound as though I'm over here stewing about John Jones. I could really care. I could really give a shit about John Jones. I care about beating Alexander Gustafsson. And then if Jones is the next guy, Jones is the next guy. If it's Evans, if it's Bader, it doesn't matter who the next guy is. But it's hard to really answer these questions about this guy and allow him to actually just sit and continue to almost reign over this division when he's disqualified himself from competition because you guys continue to ask us questions about him. My day-to-day life does not involve worries about John Jones. I worry about Alexander Gustafsson defending my championship. Then it's just on to the next one. Line them up, and whoever the name is at the end of the row is who I'm going to fight. Jones right now, you know, he's disqualified himself from the competition.
Guys, thank you so much for answering my question, and good luck.
Our next question will come from Jeffrey Harris with 411 Mania.
Good morning. Thank you all for joining us. For Alexander, at the Go Big press conference, did you get the sense that Daniel was mocking you at all, talking about how everyone knows you for your loss to John Jones?
Well, no, I really didn't pay attention that much about what he was saying in the press conference, but You know, in one way.
That's a lie, Alex. That's a lie.
Alex knew exactly what I was talking about because it took him a week
to make a response. If he didn't pay attention, he would not have had that little smirk response.
I understand that response.
He knew exactly what I was saying. He knows.
I don't. But honestly, you know, I still think that, you know, DC has a point. Danny has a point there because, you know, I have my mission in front of me. I'm going to fight Danny right now, and I'm just tired of hearing about John Jones all the time. So I get that point. But other than that, no, I didn't hear what he was saying, so.
But just,
Alex, do you have any lingering animosity
Alex, just tell him. Just tell him, Alex, your greatest performance was not a loss. Tell him about your big wins. Alex, tell him that your greatest performance was not a loss. Tell him. Then they can stop asking you that and stop pretending that. Tell them that your greatest performance, the time that you walked out of the octagon, was not after that loss to John Jones. You felt better walking out another time where you felt you accomplished more. Tell them, Alex.
Yeah, of course. But my biggest accomplishment is going to be the 3rd of October, my friend. That's going to be my biggest accomplishment.
Well, Alex, that ain't happening. Let's not sit over here and pretend.
Tell him.
Tell me, Alex.
Huh? Tell me what?
He defeated Shogun, a former UFC light heavyweight champion.
Yeah, he defeated many guys.
And that's what I'm saying. Tell these guys to stop harping on the fight that you lost and to respect you for the huge win that you have.
Yeah, you know, but, you know, I got you. But, you know, the journey's not over yet for a while, you know. Still a lot to come.
But, Alex, is there any lingering animosity toward Daniel? Because last year you were the one who was supposed to fight John Jones in the rematch for the title, but, you know, due to injuries and circumstances and due to the press conference incident, it was Cormier who ended up getting the title shot earlier this year when after you were recovered from your injury, you ended up fighting Johnson, but here you are now getting your title shot. Do you have animosity toward Daniel over getting passed over for him instead of you?
No, not at all. You know, whatever happens in the past happens. You know, it's nothing that I thinking about right now. I'm just happy to get another opportunity here for the belt and fighting DC again. So, you know, I'm just happy for the opportunity and you know, I'm going to make the best of the opportunity and it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. I'm very excited for this.
Rashad, welcome back. I'm really looking forward to you getting this fight and seeing you back in the octagon again. Do you think, is there any pressure on you, you know, after, you know, coming back from this layoff and performing and, you know, getting your hat back in the title mix once again? Because it just seems like, you know, this is a big opportunity for you to make that happen, you know, considering you're fighting on the same night as a huge light heavyweight title fight.
You know, I'd be lying to sit here and say there's no pressure at all for me to go out there and perform well. And there is, you know, I want to go out there and I want to show that I haven't lost a step. I want to go out there and show that I'm still hungry to compete at the top of the weight class. But, you know, it's not for the reason to say that, you know, I want to throw my name in a hat to have a chance to fight for the belt. I think if I go out there and I perform well, that'll speak for itself, you know. I think my concerns more of anything is just going out there and just finding my rhythm, finding my timing, finding all the things that I need to do so I can say, you know, so I can sleep at night and say, you know what, I competed good. I think that, you know, the bigger you make the whole event, the harder it is to go out there and compete at your best. You know, I mean, there's so many things in the background that I can add to me wanting to do well, but the more I do that, the more complex that it makes it. So I just decided to just to make it small, and it's about going out there and having a great performance against Ryan Bader. And, you know, Ryan Bader, he's been looking good lately. You know, he's gotten better as a fighter, and I can't wait to go out there and, you know, show everybody what I've been working on for the last 2 years besides just being injured.
For Tyron, Johnny recently has talked about how sometimes you have to be less exciting in order to win the fight in the eyes of the judges.
than in the eyes of the fans. So, I mean, both of you, I would say, have been on the wrong end of some really iffy decisions. So, I mean, do you have to think about that at all going into a fight, you know, of winning this fight? You know, you're in a three-round fight with a former UFC welterweight champion, and, you know, this is a fight that, you know, could get you, you know, everything you want in the dreams of your MMA career. But, I mean, still, you have to deal with winning the fight and convincing the judges and or also maybe finishing the fight. I mean, does that pressure you at all?
Who's that a question for again?
Tyron.
Oh, that was for me. I was still caught up on DC telling Alex to tell him. I was making that my meme for the day. No, I don't get caught up in that, man. This is the thing about fans. You're never going to satisfy them. I used to try to. I think some of us on the phone used to try to as well. At the end of the day, you got to be able to look in the mirror and know that you went out there and you've given the best that you can give and done the best that you can do in that fight. And, you know, there's been fights where I've done that. The fights where, you know, I can honestly say in victory and defeat that I didn't give my all. So it's more of a challenge towards myself on maximizing and being the Tyron Woodley that I can be, which I believe is the best in the world. That's really where my pressure lies. It's not about, you know, I mean, the fans, what they want to see, and you got to win this type of way to get a title shot. Like, when did this sport become that? Such an entertainment deal where you can't just win. You have to win by jumping off the cage or doing the percolator in the middle of the octagon and, you know, finishing a fight that way to get a title shot. I think a victory over these top guys, none of these guys want to lose. None of these guys want to be finished. So to be able to finish a high-level opponent is not easy. I don't want to be finished. So with that said, you know, my focus is on doing what I'm able to do and maximizing, and that's really it. I mean, I don't plan on sprinkling any extra fairy dust in the air and doing nothing, no razzle-dazzle that I don't have to do, but just going out there and fighting a very tough opponent.
Now, and finally, for Ryan Bader, Ryan, is there any sense that maybe you've been passed over for a title shot because, you know, your most recent wins haven't been, you know, finishes, and do you think maybe I have to put a stamp on this win over Rashad Evans in order to really secure a title shot?
Yeah, you know, let's be honest, the finishing whole part of it, you know, just like what they were saying, is a big part of it, you know, and getting a title shot and being exciting. And, you know, for me, I've got 4 wins in a row, and I think I need that name recognition, that guy in Rashad Evans, you know, go out there and beat him, make it 5 in a row, and have it be Rashad as a bookend for those 5-5 winning streak, you know, former champion, a guy that everybody respects and knows his skill set. And then maybe, yeah, you deserve the shot. But the title shots, they come to go, and you never know. Like Johnny was saying, you could be training for one, a guy gets hurt, another guy jumps in, you take a fight or whatever. We're all getting a little older in the sport too, and everything comes into a factor when you're thinking about that. So it really, just keep your head down. I'm kind of cliche, but it's the next guy. You know, it's Rashad right now, and I'll worry about everything else after that. You can't think too far ahead in this sport because it'll bite you.
Thank you all, and I can't wait to see your fights.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Before we take the last question, this is Dave Schaller here. I just want to, on behalf of the whole UFC family, wish a very happy birthday to former UFC light heavyweight champion Rashad Evans. Happy birthday, Rashad. Last question will come from Niall McGrath. Niall, go ahead. Your line is open.
Just one for Alex. Thanks for the time today, guys. Alexander, obviously, your loss in January, the Swedish public seemed to put a lot of pressure on you. How much pressure is there on you from the Swedish public going into this fight?
Well, it's not that much pressure. It's been a lot of hype around this fight, but and the same with my last fight against Anthony. It's also been a lot of hype, but it's all good. It's not that much pressure. It's a little bit of media. That's it. That's part of the job. That's something you have to, you know, I accept doing.
And we also, obviously, we see Joanna is champion now, European champion. How crucial is it, do you feel, for Europe to have a male champion in the UFC?
Well, it's about time, I feel. And you know, it's, you know, I'm taking that belt, and that would be massive for the European MMA scene and for the Swedish MMA scene. You know, it would be massive for the sport.
Excellent. Thanks for the time. Just one more for Rashad Evans. Rashad, you've had a lot of distractions outside of the cage, you know, coming into this fight. You know, how's everything on that? Are you fully focused going into this fight?
A lot of distractions as far as what?
As far as there was reports that you've broken up with your management company. Along those lines.
That's not a distraction. I mean, me and Glenn and I, we're still really close. You know, he still helps out on a lot of things that I do still. It's just that, with that whole situation, I just wanted to, move in a direction where somebody was able to give me more time. And it was an amicable split, so it was no hard feelings going with that whole thing. But, yeah, I'm focused. I mean, I've been waiting for 2 years for this moment. You know what I'm saying? I got hurt training for D.C. originally, and, it was Friday, and it was my last training day, and I was going to be sitting to fight D.C.
And you are so lucky you did, too.
When D.C. first got to the game, I was and he was swallowing me like he was swatting flies. He had no hands.
Oh, Rashad, you got lucky. You got hurt, boy. Wow.
I've been waiting for this moment for 2 years, and for me, more than anything, it's just a matter of just not getting too excited. You know what I'm saying? Not doing too much because I've been waiting for this, and I'm super focused, and it's just a matter of me just kind of just dialing down a little bit and just enjoying myself a little bit. Today is my birthday. I'm going to go and have a few shots, get turned up a little bit, go end up in Miami, wake up in the morning and train, you know? But that's just what I need.
Rashad, they do love you at the UFC because they knew your birthday was right around the fight, so they gave you Ryan Bader, huh? Wow, they took care of you.
And just one more for
come on, Bader, don't let that ride.
And just one more for one more.
Don't let that ride.
Come on, Bader, say something, Bader.
Don't let DC go. Start instigating.
And just one more for Rashad.
Take care, Rashad, and then get you next, buddy.
And just one more for Rashad. Rashad, Ryan has said there, DC is next if he gets over you. How do you feel you'll be positioned in the UFC light heavyweight division with a win over Ryan Bader? Is DC next for you too?
Hopefully. I would love to fight DC. I think it'll be a fun fight. But I think, beating somebody like Ryan Bader would definitely, say that I'm in the conversation. A lot of things need to happen for that fight to happen. You know what I'm saying? The whole situation everybody hates to talk about is John Jones coming back, which he probably will. But more importantly, instead of just getting my mind so much wrong, I got to have DC next, I just want to compete. When you've been out for 2 years and just left on the sidelines and analyzing fights on Fox TV and you still got the ability to whoop everybody's ass, you want to compete. So I got a chance to fight, and all I want to do is just compete.
It was a good plug.
Thanks for the time today, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. That will conclude today's UFC 192 conference call and the sub-podcast hosted by Daniel Cormier and Rashad Evans. Next week, UFC 192 open workout at the Westin in Houston, Memorial City. That's on Wednesday, free and open to the public. It'll start at noon. Also, don't forget tomorrow, UFC Fight Night Barnett versus Nelson live from Japan on Fox Sports 1, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. Thanks to all six of our athletes for joining the call. We will see you guys in Houston. Have a great day.
Hey, guys, before we hop off, it's good to get DC and Rashad on the phone because they saw Hollywood and return phone call. So,
I'm glad.
And with that, Tyron has dropped the mic. Thank you all. Have a great day.